Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is none other than Andrew Brust. It rhymes with trust.
It does. That's the good mnemonic for it.
That's right. Yeah. Andrew, how you doing?
It rhymes with other things, too, but yeah, we stick with trust.
We stick with trust.
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm doing well. Good. It's good to be on campus.
Yeah. So you're here for S4?
I am.
Okay. That's
yeah.
It's kind of an internal Microsoft sales thing.
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I'm here in the capacity of working for a company that is kind of far afield from the Microsoft stack, even though most of my history is with the Microsoft stack.
Yes. So you've been a SQL Server MVP.
Yeah.
And now they changed that to Data Platform MVP,
which suits me just fine, because really I focus mostly on the BI side, which is still SQL Server.
Yep.
But SQL Server analysis services and Power Pivot and all the rest of that has been my point of focus for a long time.
All right, and so you work for a company called?
I work for a company called Datamere, which I'm proud to say now has a very formal and strong partnership with Microsoft.
Awesome. Now, what does Datamere do?
So what Datamere does is I think what Datamere does is classic Microsoft, which is to democratize and put a layer of abstraction over something really kind of complex and make it a lot easier. So in this case, the complex thing that we put a layer over, the complex thing is Hadoop, which is this open source technology that, by the way, just last week turned 10 years old, believe it or not.
Wow, really?
And Hadoop is like the poster child open source big data technology. But if you've ever tried to use it coming from a relational database or even a OLAP BI background, you've got a big learning curve ahead of you. What we do is we put an Excel-like interface over it. We're running natively on Hadoop. But you don't really have to know anything about Hadoop to do it.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about what's going on in the back end.
You don't have to write MapReduce code. You don't even have to know what MapReduce is, I'm happy to say. And the fewer people who know what MapReduce is, probably.
You don't even have to know what Hadoop
is. you don't, actually. Yeah. And we run, there's lots of different distributions of Hadoop. It's open source Apache code, so you could just download it from there if you wanted to. But typically people go and subscribe to or buy a distribution from one of a few companies. Microsoft some years ago partnered with one of those companies, Hortonworks, to create Azure HD Insight, which is Microsoft's Hadoop on Azure.
Yep.
And we run with HD Insight just as well as with any other Hadoop distro. And we're on the marketplace, so if you want, for free, you can go up there. Well, our part's free. You can go up there and in one procedure, deploy an HD Insight cluster and a VM instance running Datamere, all correctly federated over the network and ready to go.
From the Azure Data Marketplace.
Correct.
Azure Marketplace, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
And I've even recorded a video that shows you a few of the config steps that need to happen after that.
And they can find that on the Datamere site or?
Or I could share a link, whatever kind of works best.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Okay. So, and how long has Datamere been around?
Datamere has been around in present form since 2009.
Okay.
It kind of started, not surprisingly, from a consulting firm that did a lot of work in Hadoop. And they were finding, as consulting firms do, that there was, you know, some stuff that they were doing over and over. So why not productize it?
Yeah.
And at this point, we've had 3 funding rounds. We just closed a round of $40 million last year. And the company started in Germany.
Oh, really?
It's headquartered in San Francisco.
Okay.
There's a big New York office, which is good for me because I live in New York.
Yeah.
San Francisco would not be a fun commute.
No.
And now with the new money, we're expanding into Latin America and Asia Pacific as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And they still have the office in Germany and other European
offices? Most of the engineering is actually still in Germany.
Oh, is it really?
Some of it's in New York.
Okay.
Not much in San Francisco, interestingly.
Yeah, interesting. All right. So show us a little bit about Datamere. How does it really work?
Sure. Well, what I can do is we can sort of take a scenario here, which is that I'm an efficiency expert brought into a firm to help them kind of deal with the delays that they encounter in travel.
Right. Okay.
So you can go to the the Federal Department of Transportation and download all kinds of data about airport delays. And in fact, I've done that. And you can pull the stuff down as CSV files. So I've pulled that data down as well as a lookup that translates airport codes to airport names.
Okay.
And I've pushed that into Hadoop, and it's here. It's here in Datamere.
Yeah. It's, okay. So what are we looking at here?
So here you're looking at our browser shell, which is, you know, meant to be like a kind of Windows Explorer or yep. Mac Finder kind of interface over mm-hmm. the different assets that you have.
Okay.
In this case, we just have a couple of upload jobs.
Yep.
But what we can do is right click on this guy on the delay data and say we want to add this data to a new workbook. And when we do that, we're magically transformed over to an environment that looks a little bit like Excel.
Yep.
This is browser-based, though. You don't need any particular version of Excel running. But what we're seeing here is, you know, this is just the flat data that came
from that
open data site. And what I'm going to be interested in doing is some analytics on it. So first thing I want to do is bring in that airport data.
Okay.
So let me do that. And I'm, you know, we have a nice menu. Anybody who's worked in Windows for a while should be comfortable with our UI.
Slow down, you're.
Yeah, I know. I'm confusing you, right? So I'm going to bring in the airport data, and I'm going to add that in. And I'm actually going to duplicate this because we want to join to it twice, once for the origin airport and once for the destination.
Okay.
So I'm going to right click again and just pick duplicate and click create sheet copy. So this is just these are the initial pieces that we need to do just to get the data in. Let's call this dest as in destination airport data. And let's rename this guy to ORIG airport data, just so that our tabs are more meaningful than sheet one and sheet two. Again, anybody who's worked in the Windows world for a while is familiar with those lovely default names. So now what I want to do is kind of join these together. And if you've done any database work, this is big data. This is Hadoop. But it doesn't matter. If you've done a join in Microsoft Access before, you're good to go. So what we want to do, sorry, that's the filter dialog. I wanted the join dialog. So what we want to do is on the delay data, I'm going to bring in origin over here. And I'm also going to bring in destination over here because we're actually doing two joins.
Yep.
And if I scroll down, we've got the airport data twice. And what we want to do is join to this this code field. And let me just scroll down to get the other code guy, bring that in. And then I also just want to make sure I'm joining on those code fields, but I don't actually want to see them again because I already have them in the, you know, the file on the left side.
Yep.
So we'll create the join sheet. And now we have all of our data put together, right? So this is, let me kind of show you the important fields here. Here is the origin airport. Here is the destination airport. Here is the departure delay in minutes and the arrival delay in minutes. If you see a negative, it means the flight was actually early, which is interesting. Sometimes that happens. Usually not when I'm flying from New York to SeaTac, but sometimes it happens. And then the airport names are over here. Right. So here's the origin airport name. And I know it's a little inconvenient that it's all the way to the right, but we're going to fix that. Before we do anything, though, let me show you this. We click this button, and our awesome, everybody, it's so, like, you go for the cheap laughs, right? Everybody loves that little animation. But what we can do here is we can take a look and see what the distribution of the data is here before we do anything else. So that was an accidental tap on my part. But what we can do, we can see, okay, well, this data is actually from January of 2013. We can see the data is pretty evenly distributed across all the days. We can also see if we go to the departure delay, we can see, and here I can zoom in, the big slice shows us that a lot of the flights are actually somewhere between 5 minutes early and 12 minutes late. So the good news is that on-time performance has been pretty good, but obviously, if, you know, for those flights that haven't been on time, things can get pretty bad. Like, yep. Here's the range between 300 minutes and 317. So that's not good. So anyway, you can do lots more profiling and discovery over there. Yep. Just wanted to show that to you real quickly. Now, though, let's do some aggregation.
Okay.
All right. So again here, at first, this will look really familiar, but then I'll show you that it kind of goes well beyond that. So let's group by... in effect, the origin plus the destination.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a group by function, and now it wants to know what column we want to group by. Well, we can just go point to that. It's this guy, and so that brings it
click
in there.
And click. Oh my goodness, yeah. That's awesome.
Well, over Hadoop, that's a pretty novel thing.
Yeah.
We can bring in the airport code just as easily. Now we're not going to group by that, though, but we have a function called group any, and that will let us bring in the airport name that we had over on the right, but now it won't be all the way over on the right anymore. We'll click OK on that guy, too. That'll take us back. If we scroll left, you'll see that we've got the origin stuff. Now, for the destination stuff, if I want to, I don't have to do the point and click, right? I can just go ahead and copy and paste that formula, except I'm in the wrong column here, copy and paste the formula, and we'll just change origin to destination. So instead of origin here, I'm just going to type DEST, good, and then over here, we'll bring in the destination airport name, go to column D over there, paste that in. And let's change orig to dest.
Dest, yep.
Okay, so far so good. By the way, what we're doing here is we're working on a smart sampling of the data, mm-hmm. not the entire data set. That's why it's interactive. The thing about Hadoop that kind of stinks is it's batch.
Yeah.
So we don't want to give people a batch experience while they're modeling their data. So we bring everything into memory based on a sampling of the data. Then when you're done, you execute the workbook.
And that actually the entire set of data, yeah.
Exactly, and that actually runs a Hadoop job.
Okay.
So, great. Now we're grouped, but so what? We want to actually bring in some numbers now. So first, let's bring in a group count so we can get the number of flights that we have for each of these airport combinations. And then maybe let's just get an average on the departure delay and the arrival delay. So I'll click on grouping and group average, and I'll move over to the join sheet. And hold on 1 second, let's try that again. So grouping, the problem is my touchpad's a little unforgiving of me. Grouping and group average. And now let's go over to the join sheet. Hello. You have editing, right?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Okay. Try this once more. Grouping, group average, joined. There we go. There's the departure delay. We'll click OK on that. And then let's grab the formula so you don't have to watch me fumble through the dialog again. And we'll paste that over here. And we'll change DEP, which is departure, to ARR, which is arrival. So now we've got some stuff we can do some analytics on, right? We have the number of flights, the airport pairs, the average departure delay, the average arrival delay. Let's give this a name. Let's call this route stats because we have aggregated at the route level. And then let's do a couple of other things that are pretty common in BI. Let's sort by the departure delay in descending order. And then let's also just take the top 10 there. And by top 10, it's kind of the bottom 10, right? These are the 10 worst. And then finally, what I want to do is put in a filter condition. And I want to say that for anything where the count, we want the count to be greater than or equal to 20. Because if we have fewer than 20 flights worth of data, that's probably not a significant enough data set to go ahead and do stuff with. So I'll create the filter. Now that's actually going to empty out the sheet, but remember this is based on a sampling of the data.
Right, okay.
So if we run it against the whole data set, then that should come out okay. And so let's save this and let's call this flight demo. And everything is being saved in the Hadoop file system, right? This is because this is all native on Hadoop. And then if we scroll down here and say start calculation immediately after save, that's what it'll do.
So it's running a MapReduce job now behind the scenes.
It is, yeah. And for those of the folks in the audience who are Hadoop nerds, depending on which edition of our product you get, we might run it on Tez as a directed acyclic graph rather than as a MapReduce job.
Oh, okay.
So we have this component called Smart Execution that can kind of pick the best engine for the particular job that has to be done.
Okay.
And so the job is running now. You can even take a look, and if you're into kind of all the Hadoopiness of it, you can look at that output log. You can see the job graph and how that's running. Let's go back to the browser. And when this job is complete, I can do a little visualization as well.
Okay.
And that, you know, that should kind of suffice for a demo. But again, the way you do this with Hadoop normally is you write Java code first to parse the data. Yeah. That's the map step. Then to aggregate the data, that's the reduce step.
Right.
And so you're writing code and you're doing that at the command line. And in this case, everything is through spreadsheets and spreadsheet formulas. If I double click on flight demo now, we should see that our top 10 list once again has data in it because we ran it on the entire data set. And by the way, we don't really have time to go into it, but our functions go well past grouping. I mean, you can do things like sentiment analysis just by calling a function called analyze polarity.
Okay.
We have this URL group of functions that'll take a whole messy URL and just pull the file name out of it, stuff like that.
Yep.
And because that, you know, that kind of log analysis is pretty...
So all this is built-in functions to make it easy for me to start getting analysis of that data. So
right. And if you're used to putting spreadsheet functions in an Excel spreadsheet, you pretty much have the paradigm necessary to do this.
So heaven forbid we just made Excel users data scientists.
Well, you know what? I've always been of the opinion that Excel users are data scientists. They just don't have the formal training, right?
Yeah.
And because they know their data. Mm-hmm. And they're working in an environment where they're comfortable exploring the data.
Yeah.
So I think a paradigm like this makes a lot of sense, frankly. And actually, if you look at Power BI, that it's really the same inspiration, which is to say, all right, people play with their data in Excel. Instead of fighting that, why don't we actually make that work responsibly in terms of security, manageability, and using an actual analytics engine instead of just the spreadsheet and memory stuff.
Okay.
So what I'm now going to do as the last step here is create an infographic. And by the way, you don't have to use us to do your visualizations. You can push this out into your favorite tool of choice, including Power BI. That's a scenario we support, or Tableau, or I won't mention a whole bunch of other Microsoft competitors. But the point is, we're end-to-end, but you can just use part of us, right? So what I can do now is I'll bring in this circular network chart, and then over here in the browser, here's our flight demo workbook that we just built.
Yep.
We can go down to latest result, and we can go to route stats, scroll right a little bit, and this will sort of visualize paths here. Hold on 1 second. So I have those drop targets available. So this is great for things that have a start point and an end point. Of course, flights tend to have that. So let's bring in the destination. Let's try that once more because the demo gods are not smiling on me for whatever reason. There we go. And let's bring in the average departure delay as the weighting. There we go. And now you kind of have a nice visualization of the routes that have the highest delays. I've just brought in the airport codes in this case and not the names so that you can see the different routes. Yeah. And the broader the line is, the worse the delays are. Another way you could do this, and this will be the last piece of the last piece, we'll do a stacked bar chart. Let me bring it over here maybe. Let's bring it down below and see if I can scroll. And then what I could do there is bring in the origin as the label, the destination as the category, and the departure delay as the data. Great. And now you can see some interesting things, right? Basically, and this, since as a New Yorker, I already knew this, Newark Airport is a problem, right? Not only does it have a ton of delays, but it has a ton of delays on a few different outbound routes because each one of those color blocks is a different destination. Mm-hmm. So apparently to Tulsa and a couple of other airports, the delays are pretty bad. Meanwhile, out of JFK, none of those are bad. So since I'm the efficiency expert, maybe I say, well, for those three cities, let's have our guys fly out of out of JFK,
right.
And then for Honolulu, which is that lighter green, let's actually run that out of Newark, right? And then even for the ones that I can't fix, at least we can let people know to expect some delays,
right.
That statistically, the delays are pretty tough. So that was, I don't know if you know, but the delay data there was a 500,000 row table.
Wow. Okay.
And that's pretty small for Hadoop.
Yeah.
You know, Hadoop is about terabytes and petabytes of data,
mm-hmm.
but the procedure would be the same. And we scale because we're running on a Hadoop cluster. So
yeah.
You make the cluster bigger and your job is still going to run in a timely way.
So the point here is that you're leveraging the power of Hadoop to do all the data processing for you. You're just sitting on top of that to be able to say, how do I visualize and analyze this data in a nice, easy way.
Exactly right. And so if you've been intrigued by that HD Insight offering on Azure, but then you've kind of set up the cluster and then you go, and then what? This is something that can really help.
Yep.
Makes it totally usable. And the only thing you have to know about HD Insight is that you provisioned it.
Yep.
And then it just goes into the background.
Yeah, again, we don't care what's going on in the back end. There's data. I can pull this data in and start analyzing this data very easily.
To me, Hadoop belongs in the background, right? It's an engine. It shouldn't be featured as a product.
Right.
And so that's our approach.
Okay.
Is to treat it that way.
This is fantastic. So now, is there like a playground that they can use this with, or like you notice that this is a browser and you're probably running this locally?
I am.
So if people wanted to play with this, how would they go play with this?
They can go to the Azure Marketplace and look for Data Mirror powered by HD Insight. And if you've got some Azure credits, like you've got your MSDN subscription, those credits should cover the cost of the HD Insight cluster.
Mm-hmm.
For us, actually, there won't be an additional charge
because
this is really just a sandbox trial environment.
Yep.
So you can get this up and running right away. If you wanted to also, you could go to datamirror.com and download a trial edition. You'll get a 2-week trial and you can run it locally. Then it's not really running on Hadoop though, right?
Then
it's running on a local engine that we've fashioned after Hadoop.
Okay, we'll put those links in the description of the show. People can go play with it. And then if they we'll monitor that the show page. If they have any questions, you can answer those questions, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Andrew, thanks for coming. This is
fantastic.
Love it. This is fantastic.
Yay.
Yay.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.